Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Spirit Alight Network, your transformation station. And this is the Faith Cafe, and I'm your host, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter. So wonderful to have you tune in on this beautiful day. Praise God for you all out there. God is so good, and His mercy endures forever. Praise God, praise God. Father, we just thank you for this day. Father, thank you because you are the glory and the lifter of our heads. Thank you, Father God, because with you all things are possible. We thank you, Father God, that you called us out of darkness and brought us into your marvelous light, Father God, that we may have eternal life. And we thank you, Father God, for the eternal life you have given unto us, each and every one of us that has accepted you. We thank you, Father God, and we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And Father, as I minister forth the oracles of you, let your word fall upon good ground, Father God, where the ground, the soil is prepared to receive your word, Father God, and that your word would be nurtured, Father God, and it would grow into maturity and it would bring forth fruit in each and every life in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I decrease as you increase, that you rise up boldly in me to declare your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise God, God is good, hallelujah. I'm going to be speaking to you today on getting our prayers answered. And we want to know that when we pray, God is hearing us, and he's hearing, and that he will answer our prayers. And we want to make sure that our prayers get answered. We don't want to be spinning our wheels. I know I don't. You know, just praying is something and it's, nothing's going to happen. We want to make sure that we're praying where our prayers are going to be answered. And our foundation scripture is Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And I'm going to read that to you. Okay, Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receive, and he that seeketh, he findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall," okay, "and shall," the word here, I notice it says shall. Shall is a covenant word, S-H-A-L-L, shall. It is a covenant word in the Jewish culture. It's covenant, meaning shall, that means it will be done. No if, ands, but that is covenant. Praise God. So he's saying here, you keep searching, you keep on asking, number one, and you keep asking, you know, you're going to get it. It will be given to you. And if we keep seeking God, keep searching God out, it says we will find him, okay? We will find it. And you will know, if you keep searching God out, you will know him. You will know him and who he is and his character. And God's character is love, is patience, is kindness. Which kindness is his favor, and joy, and peace, long-suffering, etc. We can go on and on of the goodness of God and his mercy and all, but God's character, if we continually to seek him, we will find who he is, his character, if we continually seek him out. That's when he said here, seek. He didn't just mean that you seek that one time, just you seeking him, asking him prayer about this one particular thing you're praying about, but to continually seek him out. Just like you continually ask, we continually seek him, okay? that we continually seek him out to find out who he is and to know someone's character, to know who they are. You seek them, you get to know them and find out their character, their nature. So it says, how do we get our prayers answered? Let's look at some things here, how we get our prayers answered. Number one is faith. Number one, you must believe that God is capable, that he's willing, number one, to answer your prayer, that he is God, that he's willing, and he also is capable. He's powerful enough to make that happen. Let's look at Hebrews 11 and 6. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them diligently seek him. Okay? So you must believe, number one, believe God is God. He is God. He is almighty. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He is the supreme being. And that seeking, you must seek him. And knowing he is a rewarder of those that seek him, and not just seeking him, diligently seeking him. When you diligently seeking him, you seeking him day by night, morning, noon, night. I mean, you're seeking him out. You're seeking him. You're being diligent with seeking him because it's a constant seeking. So diligently searching him out and knowing God is God and that he is willing. And when we learn the character of God, we'll know he is willing. And not only that he's willing, he is able. There's some people used to say back when I was growing up, and they say, oh, God is willing. We know God is willing. Yes, God is willing, but a lot of times they didn't really believe that he was really able. You know, but as I began to, in my Christian walk, and I realized God not only is just willing, God is able. He's able and he's willing. And he wants us just to seek him. He wants us to seek him and to seek him in all our ways. Praise God. Yeah, and that is the will of God. That is the will of God. So our fathers, so let's look at another one, number two, prayer. Our prayers. So our prayers must be in alignment with God's word. Let's look at Matthew 18:19. Okay, praise God. I want to read that to you. So a very, very familiar scripture. I can quote it to you, but I figure it's best to read that to you. Okay? Matthew. Okay. Praise the Lord. And it says, Matthew 18 and verse 19 says, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, us touching anything, okay, anything that they shall, again, there is that covenant word again, they shall ask and it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Okay, it will be done. And this is the word coming from Jesus himself, saying it will be done. And we're going to get into some things later on, but it must be in agreement, must be in alignment, which we'll get into some other things later, but it must be in alignment with his word in order for him to answer. God and his word is one. Okay? Let's look at Mark 11:24. Another very familiar one, too. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. So you believe when you pray, you have it. And again, you are praying in the word of God. You're praying the word of God. You're praying in line with God's word. Okay, and you say, how do you know what the will of God is? God's will is his word. It's his word. And anything outside of the word of God that goes contrary to the word of God, it's not God's will. God's will is his word. He wants us to be in health, he say, even as our soul prospers. He wants us to have, you know, prosperity in our life, health. He wants all these things for us. So when we pray to receive these things, and he wants us to have a life more abundant, abundant life, I mean, here on this earth, not just eternal life, but a bountiful, full, blessed life here on this earth. And when we pass on, eternal life to come. Praise God. So God's will is his word, and he desires to give us the kingdom, okay? But we must do things, have be in line in God's word to receive what his promises, okay? Okay, Mark 11:24, we read that. Praise God. So we see here we can add anything, whatever we desire. When we pray, we can believe it. We believe, we receive it, and we shall have it. Believe it's 2 Corinthians 1, I think around about the 7th verse, it says all the of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God is yes and amen. It didn't say sometime or maybe. He said all the promises in God are yes and amen, meaning yes, 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 so be it. Never know. If God doesn't answer a prayer, we don't get an answer. And if we're in line with God's word, you continually stand on that prayer and stand on that word if it's in line with God's word. But if it's not in line and God don't answer, you can't expect him to answer because he's not going to. But if you're asking according to his word, you're going to receive it. Regardless of, you may feel like, oh, I've heard people say they give God a certain amount of time to answer, then they move on. But no, we can't give God a certain amount of time. God's time is not our timetable. So we must be patient, and that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. So we pray and ask God for something, and it may take a while to receive it, but we're to stand in line. Stand on God's word and just continually standing, and God will answer regardless of how long it takes. Be willing to stand and wait on God. Now, if you're asking something and you don't receive it, then go back and examine your motives. Okay? Let's look at James 4:3. James 4:3. And our James here, our brother James here says that if you ask and you don't receive it, it's because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. So when we ask God for things, we must examine our motives, okay? Why do you want this? Why do you want it? What's the motive behind it, okay? Is it something that you want to kind of just kind of like, oh, wave it in someone else's face? Oh, see what I got, you know? Oh, you don't have it. You know, what are our motives for it, okay? So we have to examine ourselves, make sure that our motives are right, our motives are pure, of whatever we ask God for. And if our motives are pure and they lined up with God's word, then we just should be patient and wait on God, okay? Number three, confessing any sins that you have committed. And we must confess any unconfessed sins that we have in our lives. We commit sin and you know, unknowingly, and some people disagree with me on that because people kind of like feel like, oh, you don't really do sins. Yes, you do. You can commit sins unknowingly. That, you know, there are sins of omission. There are sins of commission. So we can sin and we not really, we unconsciously realizing that we may have sinned. You know, so, but anything we should confess, go and confess our sins. Word of God says if we confess it, God will cleanse us. Let's look at that. That's 1 John 1:9. If we are faithful, I want to read that to you. 1 John 1:9. And he says in 1 John 1:9, say if we confess our sins. So which tell me right there that we are going to have, we do have sin. We will have sin. And because John here, he's talking to brothers and sisters, okay? He's talking to Christians here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he'll cleanse us from all the iniquity, all the sin that we've committed. He say he's able. He will cleanse us of that. So all we need to do is confess it, accept the forgiveness from God, confess it, and just let him cleanse us of it, and keep it moving. Okay. And just be remembering that God has forgiven you and that he paid the price for our sins, okay? So we are to forgive, okay? Forgiveness, that would be number four, forgiveness. Forgiveness, Mark 11:25-26. And forgiveness is very critical. You say critical, very critical, okay? Because that determines where we go spiritually, okay? I know people that are so bitter. They have just venom. It's really sad because of unforgiveness, because of things happened in the past that just refused to forgive people, and the venom that had, the bitterness that has built up, the venom, and it's just poisonous to themselves and poisonous to others, because unforgiveness it affects other people, but it affects you adversely. Because it affects other people, because your venom, your bitterness all of that is projected onto other people when you come in contact with them. But the unforgiveness with you is so critical that the person who has this unforgiveness, you must deal with it. You must deal with it because you're going to continually be problematic in everything you do, everywhere you go. It's problematic because you have not dealt with the unforgiveness there. So forgiveness is so important because it, it affects us. Even doctors now know when they're saying now that people that don't forgive, they're having a lot of problems, illnesses, things, cancers, illnesses that really just eat away at people because of unforgiveness. And so people knowing now, even in the world, in the secular world, they're understanding, don't let my problem be, I'm not going to let your problem be my problem. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let it go for my own sake. So the world is understanding this, the secular world, and we as Christians all the more know that we must forgive because it is critical for us to forgive. Let's take a look at Mark 11, 20, 25, and 26. Okay, Mark 11, 25, and 26, and we and that is okay, and it reads, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against any, that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, here's the key. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, here we see, as I mentioned, how critical forgiveness is. So we don't forgive, God don't forgive us. As simple as that. And we all want forgiveness. We all want forgiveness, and we all want God to forgive us because daily we do things that, we know we do things and that we need forgiveness and cleansing for. Okay? So we want to make sure that however way, even if it's just, a, you know, we feel like that we don't do anything, but yes, we do. Even if we offensive to our brother or sister, we may walk past them. Our minds may be on something else or we're thinking about other things, and we may walk past them and not speak to them, and they get offended by that. You're not intentionally trying to offend them, but because of not paying attention, our minds are on something else, and we could end up offending them. And that's when we realize we do that, and we go back and go back to our brother and sister and confess to them, I'm so sorry. I didn't see, I wasn't really paying attention. My mind was elsewhere. So just even things like that we can do, that we can be offensive to one another. And they may be hurt about it, but we, you know, to them that's a big thing. But we have to be willing enough to go back and ask them to forgive us because we offended them. And again, it may not seem to be a big thing to you. You may say, oh, you just need to grow up. You need to get over it. Yes, that's a fact, but the thing of it is they're not there yet. They're not there yet where they're mature enough. They may be still on milk, but still you need to go to them and apologize, repent to them, okay, and walk in love and forgiveness toward them. So forgiveness is so critical, okay? Critical, okay? How that impacts us in such negative way. And I tell you, I'm sure that you all have run across people out there that are unforgiving, and how that has impacted them and it impacts the lives of the people, you know, that they come in contact with. So if we don't forgive one another, and that's not only just our sisters and brothers in Christ, if we don't forgive people in general, we cannot expect God to forgive us. We don't forgive. He said he would not forgive us. So that's just cut and dry. We're to forgive in order for us to forgive others. And some may say, oh, you just don't know what they did to me. Oh, sure, I can believe some things. I can believe anything anyone tells me, because I've been through a lot of it myself, been through where I've had to forgive. I've had to walk in forgiveness. I mean, walk in it. People that hurt you deeply, but we have to overcome it, because the Word of God tells us that we can overcome. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. So we can overcome anything the devil try to shoot at us. We can overcome it. Praise God, because God's Word said that we can. It may be painful and difficult, but you can forgive. Praise God. And you can be an overcomer. Last one, 5, love. Okay? Love one another. Okay? We want our prayers to be answered. We're to love one another as well. Walk in love. Walk in love in spite of that agape love. Love in spite of. Whether the love is reciprocated back or not, walk in love. Romans 9 says, loving thy neighbor as thyself. That's 9, the latter part of 9. And verse 10 says that love is the fulfilling of the law. We're to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. And no one have ever hurt himself and don't love himself. And if you don't love yourself, then you really have a serious problem that you really need to seek God, or, and if you're not in that way, to seek God for him to heal you, then you need to go to counseling. But I don't know anyone that don't love themselves. But he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't know anyone that's of a sound mind that want to hurt themselves. So, loving one another. Praise God. And I'm out of time here. Thank you so much for tuning in, taking time out of your schedule on today to hear. We just praise God for you. And I'm asking, want to share with you, listen in a little later tonight here on the Spirit Alive Network at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We have Evangelist Janie Branch that has Prayer Changes Things. So you get a chance to listen in to our beautiful dear sister, Evangelist Janie, and listen at her and her prayer as Prayer Changes Things. Praise God. Thank you once again for tuning in wherever you're at. Okay, praise God for you. And just remember 1 John 5:4. Whoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. From all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, I've been your host, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter. And from all of us here, until next time, I say, be ye transformed, and have a blessed evening. Good night.